This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. Grain market obstacle course. The cure for high prices is high prices, as high prices typically destroy enough demand so that supply doesn't run out, while they encourage producers to add supply. End users have to see margins shrink and go negative before they curtail usage. If they are making money, then they have no reason to use less. $7 corn, $400 a ton soy meal, and $16 soybeans did not cause end users to lose money and reduce consumption. Hogs and poultry producers have had great profits. The price of beef is plenty high to give cattle producers enough margin if packers would share more of their exorbitant profits with them. One could argue that both consumers are being gouged over the price of beef, while cattle producers are being hosed by packers. The price of feed is not the cattle feedlot's primary problem. It is unbalanced industry market structure. USDA should boost feed usage by 50 million bushels or more in next Monday's WASD report. Livestock producers are getting a better opportunity to lock up future feed needs. This will sustain and grow their demand. Ethanol margins were profitable before the price of corn fell. They are becoming more profitable if they can actually buy physical corn for Chicago Board of Trade prices. Our local ethanol plant improved the basis to a dollar over September. September gasoline prices and demand should stay strong into fall as drivers get out of town for a change. There has never been any feeling that there was extra corn hanging over the market in our feeding biofuel region. Basis has been extraordinary. The Supreme Court SRE ruling doesn't require the EPA to grant waivers. It just says that they can. If they do, it will be to a few small refineries that can actually prove hardship, not for 1.5 billion gallons like the last administration. The recent circuit court nixing of the E15 vapor waiver is unlikely to impact the market until next year, if at all. We would bet it gets reinstated. This one is common sense. If E10 and E85 qualify for such waivers, E15 is too micro-incrementally different to make any difference. No one in government is that close with regulation unless they have an ulterior motive. The retail fuel industry has made the investment to sell E15, which took them a while to get on board, and they are not going to stop now. USDA used a conservative ethanol crush estimate for 2021 based on the uncertainty of COVID. The recovery has gone better than most expected, so there should be likewise an increase in the ethanol crush by 25 to 50 million or so bushels in next week's report. The USDA has been most conservative on its corn export estimate. It drug its feed in more, understating Chinese demand. China is no different than others relative to price. The cheaper it is, the more they buy. 550 new crop corn is cheap to them. Their corn price trades between $10 and $11 a bushel, so ours is half price. The U.S. ag attaché to China recently estimated Chinese corn exports for 2021-22 to be 20 million metric tons. Our sources say they'll import 28 million metric tons of corn and 104 million tons of soybeans. They have Chinese contacts and have been correct before. The only reason that China would have to reduce corn imports is if our price got too high relative to theirs. It is Brazil that is in that boat right now as their corn prices have climbed and did not weaken with ours. Our corn just got that much more competitive. The recent freeze in Brazil, along with the drought that preceded it, have taken as much as 900 million bushels off of what they could have had. USDA will have to use a real lowball Chinese import expectation not to significantly increase U.S. exports on our balance sheet. Incrementally, it could be up 100 million bushels, but if they want to get real, it should be boosted 2 to 300 million bushel. No one expects that much reality from them, at least not all at once. Given the combination of stronger feed consumption, a larger ethanol crush, and boost in exports, USDA could take a big slice off the carryover. Will they? The most likely scenario is that they will do something incrementally over a longer period of time, as they have been known to do. The bottom line is that Chicago Board of Trade prices to date have had little to no impact in shrinking demand. Both domestic and export demand are still hitting on all cylinders. The demand side of the balance sheet continues to improve and strengthen, and the carryover shrink. These are not bearish demand fundamentals. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information and marketing opportunities, contact us at Comstock.com or call 712-227-1110.